Welcome back. I'm Jamila Harris, your executive producer and host.
We're joined now by attorney Richard Bourne-Vanek, who will talk to us about roles and responsibilities of a trustee and options we may have if we have beneficiaries of our trust who may be facing challenges.
Okay, Jamila, we're talking about how trusts actually work in practice. You know, the trust starts off being a set of provisions that are on paper. Those provisions tend to be the result of discussions that you have with your advisor concerning the wishes that you have for those in your life, your loved ones, children, and others, and also with respect to the assets that you have that you want to be devoted to the interests of those individuals. Having put all those words on paper, you've now identified persons to be a trustee. Typically, the person who sets up the trust, we call that person the grantor or the settlor, is themselves going to be the original trustee. That's the first trustee. And that makes sense because we're not giving up control over our property when we establish the revocable trust. We are retaining control over those assets as the original trustee. So we make all decisions over them. We can buy or sell the property that we have put into the trust. We can do all those things as the trustee. So functionally, there's no change in our control over the assets. However, the trust, of course, is intended to do more than just the immediate future. The trust is intended to address what's going to happen later on in life, perhaps at a time when you become incapacitated or ultimately when you're no longer with us. In either of those situations, either because you've decided at a later stage in life to resign or you passed on, the responsibilities for the trustee now shift to a second trustee. That we call that person the successor trustee. And it's particularly in that context that it's important to have in mind what the trustee is going to do and how the trustee can best perform. There are roles and responsibilities for the trustee, and while it's certainly possible to take that for granted, if you will, when you are the original trustee, it's worth time to contemplate what the individual who you have thought of as being your successor, how can they best function in that role.
Attorney Bourne-Vanek, can you expand upon what happens if I am the trustee of my trust when it's established, and then perhaps my status changes? Maybe something happens that I have an illness that renders me classified as disabled, or something changes about my status. What happens then? Who becomes the trustee of my trust?
When we establish the trust and we have designated ourselves as the original trustee, the trust begins. What can happen from that point going forward? Well, several things can happen. Number one, you could live your life out fully until you pass on, at which time it's your death which brings about the successor trustee. Alternatively, however, you may later on in life suffer a debilitating illness, for example, a stroke, or perhaps an accident of some kind. At that point, you are unable to continue as trustee, and we speak of you no longer having the capacity, or you being incapacitated to serve as trustee. It's also possible that without being incapacitated, you may, for any number of reasons, decide that you wish to pass on those trustee responsibilities to somebody else, that you're in full retirement mode. And again, every situation is different, but you may say, I've reached the point where I will now pass on these responsibilities to another individual, my adult child, or some other person who I've intended to take on the responsibility at this time. We call that resignation as the trustee. So your role as original trustee will continue. At some point, it's going to end. At some point, you will be replaced either voluntarily through a resignation or through a determination that you're not capable or through death. And we will now be talking about a successor trustee. Now, why is that important? That's important because you are fully aware of what you have in mind when you create the trust. I mean, you know the issues, or you believe you know the issues, that are important in terms of your beneficiaries and in terms of their pluses and minuses and their strengths and weaknesses. You know your goals and your aspirations. You know that because it's yours. When we think of the successor trustee, it's important that they also share a sense of what your expectations were. What were your wishes? And so I always advise my clients to be aware to share some of that with the individual that you have in mind as a successor trustee. For example, supposing you are an individual who has a family business, and you are putting that family business into trust. Okay, so you're the original trustee. There's going to be no change in your control over it. You're still affecting all your decisions and management as you would. What do you have in mind happening at the time of your death? Do you have in mind that the business would be continued? Do you have in mind that the business be wound up? Do you have in mind that the business be, in effect, transferred in terms of management to one particular child? These are all issues that, you know, you may have in your mind. It's important to share those with the individual who you propose to be as your successor trustee. So I say that it's a trustee's responsibility or role to become fully aware of what the grantor or the original purposes are in creating the trust. And over time, what are the current purposes of the trust? How have they changed? So that we always are staying faithful to what were the wishes of the individual who set up the trust. Now, along with that becomes the responsibility of the trustee to the extent possible, to be guided by those wishes. The trustee role is a fiduciary role. It's one of trust. You are trusting somebody to manage your property in accordance with your wishes. Therefore, that's a responsibility which the trustee should consciously be prepared to undertake when they take on that role. Now, when we talk about the successor trustee, we are often describing a situation where there are beneficiaries. Now, the typical trust will say that a trustee is to apply the income of a trust for the welfare, the health, the maintenance, and usually the education of the beneficiaries, if they are minors, until such time as the trust provides that they shall actually receive property that's in the trust, either in installments or in percentage shares or whatever. But there's a period in which income is being provided only. And then there's a period in which we transition from income to actually distributing the trust property itself, because at that point, ultimately, the trust is going to come to an end. If you've left property in trust for your children to be received by them at a certain point in time, or for the income to be used for your grandchildren's development and at a certain point in time to be distributed, there's a foreseeable date in the future when that trust is going to come to an end. And so until that time, we are working as the trustee with beneficiaries. Now, one of the important things to keep in mind is that in the real world, as I like to keep on saying, every beneficiary is different. They are unique. There are some trust beneficiaries who are absolutely perfect. They're fine. They have no problems. They're going well on through their life to become well-educated, to be hardworking, establish families, etc. And really for them, there's nothing need to happen except to provide for them, for example, paying a college tuition or paying a health expense. But at some point, they're going to take on full ownership, and that's going to be the end of it. Unfortunately, that's not the only possibility. We have situations where we have beneficiaries who may be underperforming, to use a term, which where they're not perhaps working as hard as they should. Perhaps they might be inclined to be overly relying upon the idea that they are going to become wealthy at some point in the future, that there's going to be something for them to receive. And we call that an underperforming situation. And then we have situations where the beneficiary may be more seriously dysfunctional. And we're speaking of things such as issues with alcohol, substance abuse, drug abuse, and perhaps spendthrift, gambling, eating disorders, mental illness. We have a number of situations where the individual is not institutionalized, the beneficiary, but they are plainly dysfunctional in the sense that they are not managing their affairs in a way which is appropriate. In these situations, the trustee has a particular responsibility to try to implement the grantor's wishes to have a successful relationship with that beneficiary, which means, in many cases, having restrictions on distributions, perhaps imposing or requiring conditions on distributions, perhaps being actively involved, being proactively involved in providing rehabilitation and addressing the concerns that that individual beneficiary may need. in any number of different contexts. And here's the situation that we need to keep in mind. The trust language itself needs to be contemplating this type of possibility where it's appropriate. And we'll get into that a little bit more detail as we go through some of the our discussions on in this topic area. But let's just talk about the more general areas of responsibility for the trustee that you want to keep in mind. I recommend that the originator, the settlor of a trust, remain in good contact, close contact with his successor trustees to keep them apprised of what his wishes are. I recommend that the successor trustee educate himself or herself about the beneficiary responsibilities, what they are expected to accomplish. They need to really be real people to you. You've got to be aware of their qualities, their strengths, and try to coordinate your role as a trustee to maximize their welfare. That may mean meeting with them on a basis, perhaps annually at least, to evaluate and to advise them on how well he or she is meeting the roles and responsibilities of the beneficiary. Let's talk about some real examples. If we are the trustee of a trust, and we've taken on the responsibility to provide income for welfare of the beneficiaries, and we are aware that under the terms of the trust, property is going to be distributed to that beneficiary when they are, let's say, 25, first installment, a second installment when they're 30, and a final installment when they're 35, just to use an installment arrangement that I find to be fairly typical for most trust situations today. If that's our situation, we need to consider, as a trustee, whether or not this individual is on the road to being able to handle this distribution, which under the terms of the trust they're going to receive, maybe in 2 years' time, or maybe the following year. And we want to make this a successful event. We don't want to make this one that turns into hostility. That's the ultimate last resort. So the way to avoid that, or the best way to try to avoid that, is to maintain that contact, to be aware of their progress as they go through life. Are they working through school? Do they have a career in mind? Do they have a plan for their life? Are they showing signs of taking seriously responsibilities as they develop? You don't want to look up and discover when the beneficiary is 24 years old and 6 months away from getting a large chunk of money to discover that they basically haven't wanted to pursue anything with their lives. They're not very financially savvy. They're not very professionally developed. They appear to have no direction in life. Those are situations in which you may well be facing problems down the line. And again, these problems as a trustee can be significant because that might not be the only beneficiary that you have in mind. For example, you have a situation where perhaps the beneficiary has children, and the trust provides for the beneficiary, but also for the beneficiary's children, if any. If the beneficiary is a spendthrift or is going to squander their trust distribution, there's a potential impact, an adverse impact, on those children. And you as trustee need to at least be aware of that and to be taking this into account in terms of how you discharge your duties as the trustee. So we have these responsibilities that I think are serious responsibilities for the trustee in terms of interacting with the beneficiaries in any situation.
Thank you for tuning in to this edition of Empowering You, your source for quality of life and financial success strategies, featuring interviews from experts in finances, law, real estate, insurance, and creating an increasing income. This edition of Empowering You is brought to you by the Law Offices of Attorney Richard Bourne Vanek, specializing in taxes, estate planning, living trusts, real estate, helping businesses, families, and individuals to manage assets and plan their estates. 340-777-5849. Email richard@attorneyrichardbornvanek.com. Visit
www.attorneyrichardbornvanek.com. JHBroadcast.com, publisher of Create Income with or without a job.